Welcome to The Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining. There we go. So, month one of my little experiment, just a little update, is that it's going nicely. I am about 7%, a little bit shy of 7% sell-through rate on my new products. And, you know, some of you are asking what those products are, and we're going to go through some questions today. So I'm just going to tell you because, frankly, I think it's just hard for me to talk around it. So I am selling postcards, vintage postcards, of course, some sports cards, but only select ones, and patches and things essentially that fit in a small envelope that I could send first class for less than $4 anywhere, pretty much anywhere in the United States. Actually, everywhere in the United States. So, and the reason why I'm doing that, of course, I've gone through it a million times, but I'll go through it again for those who haven't listened, is that I just figuring out how to ship things. Certainly with clothes, it's pretty easy, but there's times when you need to ship jackets and things like that. It's just, you know, you have to carry all sorts of boxes and stuff like that. I just want to take out all stress in my life. So, I mean, really, honestly, my situation might be different than you. I need to make a living, but at the same time, you know, I retired from a very stressful job, and you would think that shipping shouldn't be stressful. And so I'm just eliminating that kind of stuff. And so I'm going through my entire operation and doing that, getting rid of product that I don't want to sell anymore, selling massive sales. And so one of the questions that came in is about how I'm going to do that. Or how I have been doing that. And so we'll talk about that. But essentially trying to eliminate all sticking points in the business. And so if I could do that successfully, then I think I'm going to have the type of reselling practice that I want. And ultimately, you need to enjoy your life. And so if you find that answering questions regarding a $20 product and taking returns on something because you're just sick and tired of seeing those returns come in, I don't have to deal with any of that anymore. Well, let's just say it's minimalized based upon the products I'm selling. And I can tell you, I have one person to thank about for this. There is a YouTube channel he also does blogging as well, called The Auction Professor. And he's the one who actually got me to start looking at postcards. And I had some postcards set aside that I picked up at one point a long time ago. And so I kind of dusted them off and looked at that market to see whether or not that might make a little bit more sense for me. And so I think that, you know, reselling is an evolution. And as soon as you, kind of find a niche that you're really, really good at and you really, really enjoy, then you should stick with it. And you should stay in that lane as much as you can. And now the lane is collectibles for me. And so that's kind of the thing that I kind of encourage everybody to do. So I think that, like I said last week, the clothing game is either a starter type of game or really a really experienced level. And I think that if you're really good at picking out vintage clothing and understanding its value, and you really, really like that, you should always just do that. Just to go back to what I said last time. So, again, you got to enjoy what you do. If you don't enjoy what you do, you're not going to end up doing it long term. I know a lot of people who buy pallets, and they really, maybe in the home space, the home goods space, or the makeup space, or, you know, the personal goods space, I guess I would call it. And I think that they really enjoy it. But I think that eventually, they settle in on that because they really like the subject, and, you know, nobody likes measuring clothes. But if you really have vintage clothes that you really, really enjoy, then maybe you do. So anyway, just like I said, I started to hate it, and, I decided to make the change. Okay. So today we're going to talk about questions that people have had. I've gotten a bunch of emails and I've kind of lumped them into various categories. And so we'll go through that. Much easier to do it this way than going through each individual one. So make sure that because if I answered the same question twice in two different episodes, I do that often enough without having to do it again. All right. So the first question is about transition. There were several questions on how do you transition out of your old product into a new product. And we talked about this last week a little bit in the concept of sunk costs, or sunk activity in this case. If you've already done the work and the items that are sitting in your inventory are just sitting there, and you sell through those, the idea is that you've already put the labor in for those items. So what you're going to do is you're just going to let it run its course. That's what I would do. And if you really wanted to, for a branding exercise, if you wanted to actually create a new store for your new product, you can do that. I don't think you have to. I think that you could slowly kind of emerge as your new product and then get rid of your old product when it's you have less of it. But the point is that what you want to do is you want to cycle through that. And, you know, all that effort you put in, you don't want it to be wasted by just selling it to one bulk buyer, unless that bulk buyer is offering you an amount that is acceptable. All right, so you don't want, if you bought it for $5, you don't want to sell it for $5, even if there's no fees attached, even if he's paying for shipping. Unless you need the money, of course. If you need the money, then you need the money, and you know. But if you can, you've put all that work into it. Let it run its course. Now, there's exceptions to this. If you're running out of space and your new product is taking up the space that's needed for the old product is taking up space for the new product, then of course you may need to do that. It might be cheaper though for you to go out and get a storage unit and put it in the storage unit if you want to do that. I mean, that might be a little better of an option. Just depends on how much you're talking about. I think a sustainable business shouldn't be run out of your home anyway. I think, let me step back. It's okay to run out of a home in an office in your home. But if it starts going outside, if you're into your bedroom and your living room and your kitchen table and things like that, I think that makes it a very difficult living situation. I think, you know, work-life balance necessitates you having a space that is separate, in my opinion. You know, obviously everybody has their own way of doing things. So, but you want that space to be free to be put other inventory. Now, in my case, collectibles are small, but it's the same shipping capability each time. It's just an envelope, you know, and so it doesn't take very much space. So I could carry both. So what I've done, fully answering this transition, is I've actually put pretty massive sales, 10 to 15% off clothing, and those people are, you know, buying it. So I've had a really good clothes sale month. I've had even a greater postcard and baseball card sale month as well. So, I mean, really, honestly, January, I've heard through a lot of people in social media that they're having problems in January. I'm not, fortunately, or not January, February. I'm not having the same problems, fortunately. But the transition's simple. You know, you basically run a sale, sell, use that money to live and buy new inventory for your new chosen product, and slowly but surely list more and more of the product that you want to sell. Okay. So, and then over time you'll have less, and you will get to a point where you need to make a choice whether or not you want to just get rid of everything, or you just keep on going. So in my case, we've talked about me moving, sometime in September-ish, what I'm going to do is basically sell until probably a month before, and then look for a bulk buyer. The reason is it's going to cost me probably about $10,000 to move my inventory. So that is the second part of that question, is that if there is an event or if there is a situation that makes storing this stuff or moving this stuff less palatable, then you need to then look to sell your inventory, but don't do it before then. I think the thing is that you've put in all that effort in that old inventory. There's no more measuring, You know, so you don't have to worry about you don't have to measure again, because the only time you're ever going to have to measure is if somebody returns something and you could, I guess, sell similar and do that. That's probably what I'll end up doing. So I don't have to retake pictures. But the reality is that I've done all the effort. Okay. So the next question is about cross listing. So I've got a little hiccups here. A lot of people are asking, well, is it worth it to go with the List Perfectly and or Vendu to cross list? And I'm going to say, if it requires you to cross list to get an acceptable sell through rate, you know, you should stay with List Perfectly. It does not have to be clothing. It doesn't have to be clothing. It could be anything. But remember, you're not listing anything but clothing on Poshmark and Grailed. Right. So, I mean, if you're just want to cross list between Mercari and eBay, because, you know, of course, Mercari sells everything, then that's fine. You know, and you should do that. One caveat: the more inventory you have, the idea of delisting, of basically ending the listing on Mercari if you sell on eBay and vice versa, becomes a burden. So what I found myself getting into, and I think it's right around 5,000 items, was when you start to see that it's becomes stressful, because you start to worry about double selling, especially if you're not necessarily clothing, but especially if you're in a situation where there's a high sell-through rate, like electronics, for instance, because you could sell electronics at both. If you have a high sell-through rate, if it sells on one, you have to immediately delist it from the other. And that eventually, when you get to a certain level of inventory, is going to become stressful, because, you know, if you sleep and you hear the cash register from eBay go off, which is always a happy sign, you have to run in and put it on and go into List Perfectly and then delist stuff. Again, List Perfectly does it perfectly. It does it great. So List Perfectly does it great and perfectly. But the point is that still becomes problematic. It's not automatic. Now, in my chosen area, postcards, for instance, but not stamps as well, I think, too. But I'm not. There's a website called Hip Postcard. And there's also Hip Stamp and Hip Comic, I think. And when you cross-list there, they have an integration. So if you're like Bonanza, is similar. So if you sell on eBay, you can actually cross-list all your stuff on Bonanza automatically. So you just have to sign up for a Bonanza account, even the free one. And then if you list it on eBay, it goes automatically into Bonanza. And if you sell it on Bonanza, then it gets delists it automatically from eBay, which is fantastic. That's what you want to strive for. Now, there's some exceptions. There is a tool that I've been playing with called Sellbrite, and I found it to be problematic for listing. I think it's not a speed listing product software, and they're not a sponsor, by the way, so I don't get anything for saying this. But what's nice about it is that it does everything else. So if you want to actually cross list on eBay and Google, for instance, Google Shopping, which, by the way, is huge. What happens is that this will update, the software will update your listings every 15 minutes. So if it sells on eBay, it gets delisted from Google and vice versa within 15 minutes. So that's pretty awesome. So, you know, obviously, you know, if I become I'll put a link on it on the website, if I become if they become a sponsor, then I'll put some codes and stuff like that, see if I can get any discounts for you guys. But the point is, it's a really good tool. And the idea is, you need automation. Now, if you're going to stay at about 500 to 1,000 listings, and they might be high dollar listings, maybe vintage clothing, maybe in the $500-$600 range, and you just sell maybe 10 or 20 or 50 a month or whatever, you know, then maybe delisting's not a big deal for you. And I think that, you know, listen, I mean, do that. If that's something, if that's your market and you're really good at that, do that, because all the problems really go away. Because you're not going to have a huge inventory. And so space won't be a concern and delisting won't be a concern. So, but keep in mind that, and maybe measuring won't be a concern in your case, because you're really only doing it for maybe a few hundred of them a month, if that. And that of course will play into it. So on that same subject, I talked a few episodes about a tool called Zapier. Again, not a sponsor, but Zapier is a tool that that basically will, when an event is triggered, it will then create another event on a completely different software. So every single time I make a sale on eBay, what happens is that I run a Zap, and it runs every 2 minutes, and basically it will update a line item in my spreadsheet showing the sale. So now I'm no longer beholden to actually go in and manually type in my sales. Now I still have to actually do some other things off the, you know, to really total things up and, you know, do averages and things like that, because Zapier doesn't do that. But it does say on every sale from eBay, it takes that information and shoves it into a Google spreadsheet so that I don't have to do that manual anymore. So along the same lines, that wasn't a question that we had, but just on the same lines as the other thing. The key is automation. You don't want to work constantly on keeping records, right? So now, same thing for sales in QuickBooks. So when you make a sale in eBay, you want to make sure that sale, when you take in the deposit, you want to make sure a line item is in there from in QuickBooks, if you're using QuickBooks. Again, automation. All right. So it's kind of related to the question that came in, but not exact. Okay. Along the same lines is, how many of you are using the thermal printers? So if you are printing labels on a laser printer and cutting them out using a scissors and then taping them on your packages before they go out, you need to move away from that. Okay. Again, not related to a question, but related to the automation piece. Get yourself a thermal printer. There's a couple out there. There's Dymo. There's Rollo. There's others. And you want to make sure that you're doing that, because a couple things. Number one is that they print out. It's on a sticker. You slap it on your package and it goes out. If it gets wet, no problem. You don't have to worry about disintegrating because it's made for bad weather. Number two is you don't use any ink. So it's heat related. So it makes your life so much easier. So if you don't have a thermal printer, get one. And, again, there's no sponsors out there, but Rollo and Dymo are both good brands. Rollo's nicer because, you know, you can use any generic label, whereas Dymo, you have to use their labels and it's a little bit more expensive. You know, the software works a little bit better, I think, sometimes, though. I have both. I have one for small labels and one for bigger labels. But I use that. Okay. And the next question, I have a few questions regarding when can I quit my job to become a full-time reseller? That was a few people. So the answer is going to vary for individual, but I will tell you is when you could take enough money out of your business and still have enough money in the business to be able to grow it. And then the rest of it, will pay your bills, your personal bills, then that's when you can quit. So that might be a year for some. It might be 5 years for some. It might be 6 months. Now, if you're in a situation where you were put out of work because of COVID or whatever reason, and you want to kind of make the jump and you have some savings, there's a buffer there. The point is, you need to actually have that buffer because bills aren't going to pay themselves. So there's no tried and true answer for this. I mean, the idea is that when you feel comfortable enough where your earnings could take care of the basic bills and still have enough to grow your business. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're taking, you know, the money that you bring in is enough to pay all your bills, but then you have nothing to reinvest in the business. You know, it's going to take at least a year for most people to be able to make that. But if you're not growing by leaps and bounds every month, whether that's in dollar value or that's in number of items, so you're either a large seller in terms of volume or you're a large seller in terms of pricing or in terms of value, then you're not going to make it, right? So you got to be able to put it in. So I put in 100% of my earnings. I put 100% of it back in the business because I want to grow fast. And the only way to do that is to reinvest and reinvest and reinvest. And the reality is that that's in any kind of business. That's not just eBay businesses, right? So you're not drawing a salary. Now, if you can afford to do that off of savings and you want to go full-time now, go for it. But, you know, you think of all things like insurance, taxes. Taxes is a huge one. Insurance, like I said, and that's if you bring on employees, you got to have workers' comp insurance. You have to worry about if something happens, health-wise for health insurance. You have to have insurance for if your inventory gets damaged and rain that comes through a roof or whatever. So you have to have all that stuff. You have to be able to pay your car payments. You have to be able to pay gas, electric, all that stuff. If you can do that on savings and you have a comfortable runway, and that runway should be at least a year in the reselling business, then I think then you're ready to go. If you are not comfortable, but you still have that runway, but you're not comfortable, you're not ready to go, right? It's all about whether or not how much risk you take. Some people just stop and then go right into reselling, and that's great. That's what I did, for a reason, and I've gone through that reason before. But the point is that you want to make sure that you have that runway, either in cash or in value in your business already. So you don't want to have to put in 100%. Continuously and not have any savings. You have to have the savings to do that. But you're going to be putting 100% in early. So I'd say at least a year, if not longer, as a general thumb.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Okay, the next question is regarding recommended details or specifics for items. So you've probably seen, like I have, a huge number of new recommended specifics that eBay wants you to put on your listings in order to sell your items. Now there's recommended and then there's required. So the required one, you have no choice. I think it's really the end of March. I think they've given you to do that. I would double check that. I've already done mine, so I haven't checked in a while. But recommendeds just this week started popping up like crazy. I woke up one day and I had 8,000 recommended specifics that I needed to put on items. So there's a way to do this that's, I would say, fast, but it's easier than the normal way. So the normal way would you go and you click on each one and just add it, and it would take forever to do that. There's a fast way. What you do, and there's a YouTube video on this too, not mine, but look there too if you want to watch it. But it's very simple. Is you just go to those listings, you click on download, and they'll give you an option to download all those items, and they allow you to choose up to three categories to do that. At a time. So what you do is you take the one with the most, and then it downloads a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet is a Excel spreadsheet. You have to actually then go in and make all those corrections manually. And the way to do that is very simple. Some of these specifics are really dumb. And so, like, for instance, character is one of them, and they're looking for a comic book character that's associated, and this is clothing, by the way. And so you have to kind of say NA or none or whatever, and there's a ton of them, and it might ask you where it's manufactured. Unknown is an acceptable answer, by the way, too. So you basically upload these in bulk. It's very simple to do. I mean, and watch YouTube videos on how to do it. It's really, really not that big of a deal. And then you save it as a CSV file, which is a comma separated value file. Now, if you don't have Excel, then you could use Google Sheets and save it as a CSV file, and that will work as well. It doesn't have to be Excel. You just have to have something to open, and Google Sheets is a free software. So do it in that if you can't do it in Excel. Now, Excel works better, though, I think, because there's some probably features that you have in Excel that you don't have in Google Sheets. I do it with Excel, so I don't really know what those are. But if you don't have Excel, you might want to look into that. Or if, frankly, if you're going to be in a category that requires a lot of specifics on those items, you want to make sure you buy Excel. And I would do that. If you have a Mac, actually you could use Numbers, which is an Excel kind of similar product, but by Apple. And it's free, of course. Now, when you do this, you are rewarded by getting more results in your search when people search for items. That being said, I don't know how, because I'm not putting in, you know, if this is, if it's a button down, I'm, you know, that's important. But if it's like made in, you know, Russia, you know, I don't think people are searching for Russian made t-shirts or shirts or something like that. So, but you know, they do ask it. So it's going to tell you whether you need it or whether you think you do or not. You could leave those, they're recommended. But I think that, and I have no proof for this, but the eBay is rewarding you by pushing you up in the results a little bit. So, and anytime you change your listing, you're going to get pushed up in the results anyway, because it's looking as a new bit of information, which brings me to another subject similar, not asked, but what you should be doing is going through your old listings and then relisting them with new information, not necessarily canceling the listing and then redoing the listing, but actually, you know, and not sell similar, but actually just updating the listing with new photos or new details. When there's significant amount of change, specifically in photos, by the way, but if there's a certain amount of change in your listing, it will move it up in rank. And if you have the old information of people who have looked at it in the past, they'll notice those new photos. And so it'll bring it to their attention again, and you might sell it. Right. So, you should be doing this anyway. But you don't want to lose that history. So if you cancel it or end it and then, sell similar, it does put as a new one. You'll get new lookers, right? Or new watchers, but you lose all the old statistics and the old one. And there is an algorithm within eBay that will notice if you just kind of try to retread an old tire, if you will. I mean, if you're taking a listing and you're basically just sell similar, but nothing's changing it, I don't think you're going to end up really, you might initially get a pop, but for the most part, it's just going to go back to where it was. You'll lose all that history. So you want to keep the history, but update the actual listing itself. Anyway, again, was not asked, but just a little tidbit of information that might help. Okay. And last bit of information is about social media. You know, what was asked is, how is the Instagram and Facebook marketing going for your listings? And I'm going to tell you, not good. Not good because I'm not doing it, frankly. You know, what I was hoping to do was to have it happen automatically. And you can, you can do that. And I'm looking for Zapier maybe to help me with that. You can, every single time you do a listing, maybe push it out via Instagram. That I think actually, would be great. And I'm just not really good at it. So the reality, and not good at it because I just find myself, not really wanting to take the time to do it. It's a great idea. I know it works. It worked when I've done it. But doing it for, you know, 100 to 200 listings a day, which is what I'm doing now, it would just be a burden. So I need to, again, going back to automation, if I could automate it. But then again, you got to say, what kind of automation, would be, because you don't want to do with 100 or 200 postings a day. I think people will get too much information. If they see you're making postings 200 times a day, I think eventually they're going to kind of say, turn you off. So the answer to your question is it's not, and it's my fault. It's just something that I just figured, automation was not, I just didn't go down that path and I should have. And it doesn't mean I won't. I just, you know, plus I also have a few, Instagram channels that I need to shut off that I'm not really using anymore. Short answer is that, this area I struggle in. That being said, it does work. You should do it. And, like I said, if you could find a tool like Sellbrite, for instance, to get you on Google Shopping, even though eBay puts you on Google Shopping anyway, it's not a direct connection to you. It's a connection through eBay. And you and others are getting the same type of you know, marketing by eBay. So you're not differentiated necessarily. So if you want to differentiate yourself, then you should then look at going to Google Shopping directly. I think this is a better alternative personally to going with Poshmark and Mercari for clothing. Largely because they have automation and really at the end of the day, the larger and larger you get, the more automation you're going to need to keep sane. Otherwise you're going to be constantly doing stuff anyway. So that's just a long answer to a short question. Okay. So, that's it for questions. Actually, the other ones are, I'll wait till next time. So listen, visit the website at oldfashionedmike.com. You can see my store at mctradingcompany.com. You could listen to this podcast on anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. Please, frequently look at the website, support our sponsors. I really appreciate that. And I will see you next week.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.